for me. Come on, can anybody finish that? If God be for me, who can be against me? Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 13. The kids are already winning. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 13. We talked last week about increase, that God wants us all to increase, right? He wants us to increase in everything, in every area of our life. It doesn't matter what we're doing in life, He wants us to increase. So if we're husbands, He wants us to be better husbands. If we're wives, He wants us to be better wives. If we're bankers, He wants us to be the best bankers. If, you know, we're ditch diggers, He wants us to dig a mean ditch. Amen? But He wants us to increase in wisdom. He wants to increase in all of that. But today I want to talk more about the source of that. In every area of our life, it doesn't matter whether it's our emotional health, our physical health, our spiritual health, our financial health. What I'm going to talk to you about this morning has an application. And what I want to talk to you about is the sower and the seed. But specifically, I want to talk to you about words and your heart. The sower and the seed and words in your heart. So let's start in Matthew 13. We'll start in verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went over to the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered together to him. So he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And we spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell upon the wayside, and the birds came and devoured him, and some on the stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root in themselves, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and they sprang up and choked them, and yielded a crop, and some a hundredfold, and others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I don't have my regular Bible, so just to let you know, I've got one of these that's print is pretty small. So if I make mistakes, bear with me. Glory to God. So Jesus is saying, man, this is really important. Listen to this next part. And this has application for all of us. And when his disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and to he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. I just want to stop right here for just a minute and comment. I've been aware of how many Christians that we thought years ago were solid, but today they're not so solid. They don't even believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They don't believe half of the things that they were taught. And you know, I've been pondering that, praying about that. Here's, I think, the defining moment for all of us is, do you really know God? And you can't know Him without having a personal relationship based on faith with Jesus Christ. You can hear all about him. You can know all the stories. You can do all of that. But until he becomes real in your heart, then you can't hear or perceive or understand. They're just stories. And if that story isn't sticking, especially in these days, the enemy is going to come and pull it out. Right? Listen to this next portion. He says, "But blessed are your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower." And in Matthew's account, in Mark's account, he says, listen, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand anything. He said, if you don't get this, then no parables will make sense. So it's pretty important, right? Listen to what he says. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, which is sown in his heart." See, you can have a group of people in a room and the word of God to be preached with the anointing strong on the word of God. And some people are going, "Wow, that really changed my life." And others aren't hearing what God is saying. We're going to get into the heart in detail starting in January. But the reality is, if there's a place in your heart that's cut off from God unless you're born again. But once you're born again, there's a communication center living on deep on the inside of you that's between you and God. So watch this. Those of the kingdom of God, those who have been born into his kingdom, can hear what he's saying. But without having that source, you might hear the words, but you won't perceive the understanding. God wants us to, all of us, to rise up and become strong in hearing from him. And watch this. He wants us to be diligent to do it. And the number one way that you hear from God is through his word. Right? Why do we come together? To worship him, to love one another, but to hear his word. And to hear the anointed word coming across. But we've got to guard our own hearts. We're going to see that in a minute. But we have to guard our own hearts, because even our own hearts can get distracted from what God has for us. Did you know you can be in a room and God could want to speak to you, but you're not hearing. You're not listening. If you had kids, you all know that's true. Come on. Did you hear me? Oh, yeah, I heard the words that you spoke. But obviously, I didn't take to heart the understanding of what you were saying. And God wants us this morning to make a commitment to begin to not only hear him, but understand what he's saying. We're living in the last days. Does anybody believe that? And in the Bible, it says, in the last days, many who were strong in the faith will walk away. We're seeing it. We're living in it. But how about you? How about me? Are we going to remain with the kingdom? Then we have to have ears to hear. Come on. We have to have ears to hear. We have to have a desire to want to hear from God and keep his word real. Come on, are you with me? Hallelujah. It goes on to say that this is he who has sown, this is the one who has received the seed by the wayside, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. God wants the word of God to be producing in our life. But it's all about seed. Come on. And the ground. The seed is the word of God. The ground is your heart. The Bible says that, and we're going to talk about this a lot in a few weeks, but the Bible says to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. I'm going to give you my paraphrased translation. You've got to guard and pay attention to what you're allowing into your heart, because out of it will spring the fruit of what you're allowing in. And your life will be bear that fruit, and that's what it will look like in the future. God wants us to understand that what you allow into your heart is absolutely the determining factor in what your future is going to look like. Come on. We have to be putting the Word of God into our heart. The seed is the Word, but the soil is our heart. But watch this. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, the book of Genesis and the first chapter. I want to bring your attention to just one verse in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 11 says, "And then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, and those whose seed itself on the earth, and in it was so." Look at what he's saying. He's saying that all seed in it has the ability to produce. But watch this. He said that all seed is going to produce of its own kind. What does that mean? You can't plant a bunch of apple seeds and expect to get pears out of them. Right? You can't sow a bunch of tomato seeds and then go out hoping to harvest cucumbers. Because the seed that you sow into your heart is what will be produced. I'm not a gardener, but I live with one. Which means I'm a de facto gardener. What does that mean? I carry manure. I till the soil. You know, I do all of that. But watch this. In preparing the soil sometimes, and you get brand new compost, and you get all new topsoil, and you're just thinking, this is perfect. And so you plant all your little seeds in there, and then all of a sudden, weeds start popping up. How did that get in there? Well, some seed was put in the ground unbeknown to me. And even though we're walking with God, if we're not careful, we're going to allow seeds into our heart that have the ability, right? Satan immediately wants to take the word out of your heart, but then he comes in and he puts some seed in there to try to choke the word out of you. Many people that I've watched and on Facebook and other places, this is just a side note, I'm just about to delete Facebook off of my, because it's crazy. It was so nice just to hear people's stories, but then it gets political and it gets all of this, and I just don't want to hear it anymore, right? But watch this. People who are on fire for God, God moved in their lives, and you know that God did, but they just walk a little ways away. And then they're hearing seed that brings doubt in along with the Word of God. And that's okay for a little while. Yeah, I love Jesus, but my mind, I'm allowing to go in this direction. And if that's allowed long enough, pretty soon, I don't believe the Bible. Right? I saw one this week and just put a knot in my gut. It said, it was a pen that said, "I want to apologize for anything I said as an evangelical teen. What they were saying is, the word that was put into me, I want to apologize for. And you see, it's their heart, though, because now they want to accept all the things that God doesn't accept. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we have to watch the seed that we're allowing to come into our heart, because just a little weed will not allow you to produce the fruit that God wants you to produce. What happens to you if you don't take care of the garden that you plant? And it takes a lot of work, right? But if you don't take those weeds out, if you don't water it, if you don't tend to that soil, your harvest isn't going to be what it's supposed to be. Let me just give you an example. We planted, instead of a lawn, we planted clover. Really beautiful clover. It's beautiful. But you know, if you don't water it, it dies. And we have, you know, raised beds and you know, well, we're just going to be gone a few days. It's not that big of a deal. And when you come back, they're all wilted and, you know. So it's a constant thing that you have to keep up with the soil, and that's your own heart. And the thing that you have to keep up with is you have to plant the Word of God in there, and then you have to be careful that there's no other seed in there. See? We want to come back to the place where, God, I'm just planting your heart on the inside of me. I want your heart to be there. I'm not saying you can't think of anything else. I'm not saying that you can't judge what I'm saying, but what are you judging what I'm saying by? Are you judging what I'm saying by the Word of God or somebody else's opinion? Hello? I've got news for you, and you may not like it, and I don't like it all the time, but God's always right. I mean, I've been right and gone to God in prayer and talked to Him about certain things, and you know God, and then He brings me a different point of view. And I've got to change my point of view to line up with His. And then I've got to put His point of view into my heart and pull out anything that's not associated with His point of view. Why? Because if I want to produce what He wants me to produce, I have to have a heart that's receiving His Word, but also a heart that there's no stones in, there's no sticks, there's no thorns, but it's pure before God. Hello? I don't know about you, but in this world, it can be tough. Because we're bombarded, especially in our day. How simple was it when we were kids? We some of us were young enough that most of us here had TVs, but they were black and white sets. They had three channels. They went off at 11 o'clock, right? And what did we do? We went out and played. We did all kinds of other things. But today, you and I can be on our screen 6, 10, 12, 8, you know, hours a day. And what's that doing? That's bringing seed into our heart. There's great things on the internet. I mean, there's you know, you can watch sermons and hear the Word of God 24/7. But you, even that, you have to be careful of what God's putting into your heart. Is this making any sense to you? The word and seed is so important in our hearts and in our lives. Look at Job, the book of Job. The book of Job is an interesting book. I don't think many people really understand. But the book of Job, it's the earliest book that was written. Before Genesis was written, before all those. It was the first book that was written. But watch this. I believe that Job is a story of grace. What do I mean by that? I mean that Job trying to work out his own thing and trying to be justified before God and say, well, I'm this and I'm that. And God finally said, you're not all that. You can only be right with me through me. saying the same thing today. But let's look closely here at this particular verse. We're going to look at a few verses in Job. Chapter 12. And I'm going to start actually in verse 10. In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Does not the ear test words and the mouth taste its food? Does not the ear test words? How many of us are testing the words that we're listening to? Have you ever been around somebody that is so negative that it's like, I just don't like to be around them? Why? Because you're hearing words that are bringing you down. You're hearing words that are bringing depression. You're hearing words, come on. And God wants you to guard your heart. He wants your understanding that your ears are an entrance to your heart, and your ears have something to do about what your heart is meditating on. What does that mean? Quit listening to certain things. I'll just give you this example because it's fresh in my mind. There was a lady, this was years ago. You know, what's the first thing you do when you see somebody, at least I do, it's like, well, how are you doing? I quit saying how you're doing to her. Why? Because it was always terrible. Everything hurt. This was wrong. This is broke. That's, I mean, for 10 or 15 minutes, all I had to say is, how are you? And I wanted to be depressed. But you know what? I had to cut that off. I didn't say I cut her off, but I cut it off. I didn't go in and ask, how are you doing anymore? I went and said, isn't it a great day? Look what God has done. Let me give you a testimony of what God has done. So I'm steering the conversation away from what I don't want to hear because what I'm hearing has a direct effect on my heart. Are you listening to me? And he said, even the ear tests what it hears. I think we need to be more sensitive to that. Now go to chapter 15, just a page over. In verse 5, it says, for your iniquity teaches your mouth, and you choose the tongue of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you, and not I. Yes, your own lips testify against you. In other words, the words that you're allowing to come out of your mouth are even seed that are going back into your heart. And your own mouth condemns you. Let me just give you an example. Nothing good ever happens to me. Okay? Okay? Nobody likes me. Everybody, okay, it's self-fulfilled prophecy. And you need to begin to start saying things differently. You need to start putting into your heart the seed that you want your heart to produce. I see Joan and David on the back down there, so I can talk about them. If they're not here, I can't use their names. But what I remember David would always say, and he still does, how are you doing? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And if I remember the story right, and Joan will correct me later, but it was like, it kind of irritated her a little bit. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. It was just, but then she started seeing the fruit of that. And so she started saying, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. How could you say that? Because the Word says, I'm already blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It's not determined on whether my car's working or whether this bill's paid or how I'm feeling. I'm blessed because He said I'm blessed. So what's the difference? You're planting a seed in your heart, a blessing that you want to produce later. But if you're complaining, you might end up like Job. Until God can straighten out your speaking and your hearing. Are you with me? If we want to increase in everything that God has for us, we need to begin to speak what He says rather than what we feel, what we see, what we touch, or what we taste. God, You're for me. You're with me. God, You've redeemed me from the curse of the law. God, You are my Redeemer. You're my source. I hear Your voice and the voice of a stranger I'll not follow. I will never, ever, 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 ever stop saying, Jesus loves me. Why? Because that's feeding my heart and not allowing the doubt to come forth. Look at Psalm chapter 19, or the 19th Psalm. Psalm 19. And we're going to go to verse 14. Okay, I'm almost there. Okay, I'm there. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. What's He saying? Let the words that are coming out of my mouth be glorifying to You. But not just that. Not just that. That's good. But the other half is, let me think about what I'm supposed to think about and refuse to think about what I'm not supposed to think about. The meditation of my heart. What does that mean? The things that you talk about to yourself all the time. You all talk to yourself. You all speak to yourself. It may not be out loud. It may be just in your head. But you're always, I should have done, you dummy, right? How could I be so stupid, right? Well, those are words that are being planted into your heart, and they're painting a picture of what your future is going to be. How about planting the picture of, I have the life of God in me. I have His nature. I have His ability. I have the divine power of God residing on the inside of me. I will never again say that I can't, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Never again will I say that I don't have wisdom, because God said if I lacked wisdom, I could ask Him and have it liberally given to me. But when you sow seed into your heart over and over and over again that I don't know what to do, I can't know what to do, I don't hear God anymore, blah, 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 then you're going to reap the results of that. And so what I'm saying this morning is guard your heart by what words you allow to come into your ear, and especially what words you allow to come out of your mouth. Now, all husbands in the room can attest to this. There are words that you let come out of your mouth that as they were coming out, you wanted to grab and stuff them back in because this isn't going to be good. Right? This isn't going to be good. And yet, once they're out there, they've not only planted a seed in your heart, but they planted a seed in her heart. Hello? And here's one of the many differences between men and women. Men don't remember everything. Women remember Everything. Everything. You can ask a woman what you were wearing on a specific, you know, like when you ask her to marry you, and she could tell you exactly what you were wearing. And she asked, well, what was I wearing? Clothes. You were definitely wearing clothes. I remember that. Here's the point. The point is that what we allow ourselves to meditate on becomes something in our hearts, and we've got to be careful of what we're allowing to come into our hearts, because it's going to show up later in our lives. Hallelujah. We must on purpose get the Word of God in our mouths and coming out of us when we're thinking about it. Come on. I used to be, nothing but the Word of God came out of my mouth. And it was radical. But I think I was producing more for the kingdom than I am even now. What does that say to me? I've got to start putting the Word of God back in my heart. And I've got to start putting the Word of God, let it come out of my mouth. I had a mentor once, and he would always say this. You'd come up to him with any question, I don't care if it was about marriage, finances, the rapture, anything. You come up to him and you'd say, what about, and he'd say, well, what does the Bible say? That was his standard answer. What does the Bible say? If you went up to him for prayer, you'd say, well, what scripture are you basing this prayer on? Why? Because the seed for producing what you wanted was based on the Word. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's kind of like in our thinking, in our meditation, it should always be defaulting back to, what does the Word say? I don't want your opinion. Although I value your opinion, but I want His opinion. Because His opinion is the one that counts. He's a lot smarter than I am. Hallelujah. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Do y'all read the book of Proverbs? I love the book of Proverbs because it's so practical, and it's like it was written, thousands of years ago, but it still speaks to us today. I don't like all of it because sometimes it brings a lot of conviction to me, right? But the reality is, it's for my good. And if I want to pull the weeds out so that the seed that I want to produce can work, sometimes I've got to let the Word of God pull those weeds out. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what's acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Again, we're talking about seed. Righteous seed is words that are correct. All right, Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 10 says, and when he called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. I think he's saying the same thing to you and me this morning. Hear and understand. Watch this. He's saying, hear it with your physical ear. Hear the vibrations that are painting pictures in your mind with your physical ear, but also perceive. Perceive means give it thought until you understand. Hear and perceive. How many went through school and just loved math? I got one hand. I like it. And others that went, no, not me. I had math, but I didn't love math. And sometimes we didn't like math because we couldn't see math. What do I mean by that? We just were taught by teachers who put something up on the board that said, you know, 3 squared equals, okay. And the square root of, you know, 9 is, okay, what does that mean? But watch, some of us don't learn that way. So we, even though we saw it and we heard it, we didn't perceive it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll give you this example. Renita years ago did math tutoring, and she had this system, it was called Mortenson Math. And what it did is it worked by a lot of visual things. So here's this board, and it's there are little cubes in this board, and it's 10 across this way and 10 across this way. And if you take, you know, you do the 3 by 3 and count all the squares in that cube, it gives you what 3 squared is. So all of a sudden, this woman that she was talking to about this, she said, I never understood that until this moment. Then she could hear it, but she also perceived it. Do you see what I'm saying? It's one thing to, Lord, I hear what you're saying, but my heart isn't fully understanding. What do you do at that point? You keep meditating on it. You keep asking God, Lord, what are you saying? 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 And you keep meditating on it, and He'll answer you. Verse 11 again. It says, hear and understand, verse 11. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles the man. That's interesting. Yeah, they were talking about food. He wasn't talking about food. He was talking about the words that come out of your mouth. Why? Because the words are seed. Your words are seed. And it's either producing life or it's causing death. You all know this. If you tell a kid that he's worth nothing, he'll never be anything, and he's damaged goods, and that it'll never amount to anything, you know, pretty soon you're going to have a messed up kid. But if you'll put into the kid that he is created by God to do good things, and that God has a purpose and a plan for his life, and God didn't make a mistake, and God has a purpose for you, if you'll put those words inside of him, it'll give him something for his heart to grab a hold of, and it can change everything. Right? One of the number one things that's missing in the generations that we're surrounding ourselves with is they have no hope. And in no hope, the enemy comes in and he brings seed to destroy. We've got to start talking to ourselves and talking to our kids that God is our hope, that He's got great things for us in the future. I read the end of the book and we win. It's not what goes in through your mouth, but what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. And again, I was joking earlier, but sometimes we don't have to say what we're thinking. I think we ought to put a guard over our mouth sometimes. It's like, because once you say it, it's there. Right? You can apologize, you can do all of that, but it's still out there. God wants us to put a guard on our mouth. He wants us to begin to speak only the things that He's speaking. Say the only things that He's saying. One more verse and we'll close. Go to Psalm 119. So what words are you allowing to come into your heart and into your mind? I can almost guarantee you that if you're depressed, you're putting wrong words into your heart. And your way out of that depression is to put in the right words. Psalm 119. I love Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter, but it's all about the Word of God. Every verse, every line talks about the Word of God. Look at verse 105. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The very thing that gives me direction in my life should be His Word. But I've got to plant the seed of His Word into my heart. And as I'm doing that, it will give me light on the direction that I'm supposed to go. You see, everything is about seed time and harvest. What you're sowing in your life is what you're producing in your life. And your words have a big impact on that. So this morning, I'm just saying, we've got to start speaking the right thing. We've got to start doing the right thing. We've got to start saying the right things. And we can only do that when we watch what we're listening to, what we're hearing. Y'all get something this morning? Hallelujah. If I could have John and the worship team come up, we're going to close in prayer. For all those who are watching online, I just want to thank you for joining us today. And I want to pray a blessing over you. I want to pray that you would put a guard on your mouth just like I need to. I'm just praying right now that in Jesus' name, He'll bless you. He'll bless your hands. He'll bless your feet. He'll bless your mind. He'll bless your finances. He'll bless everything in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for just reaching into people's homes even right now, touching them in a way that I cannot. And I believe, Father, that your Spirit is doing a work inside of them. God bless you. Thank you for joining us in Jesus' name. Amen.